Welcome back to another episode of We Can Learn a Lot Ethically from Batman. We're doing another initial thoughts today. We are going to be talking about Wake Up Dead Man.
Woo!
A Knives Out story. This is the third installment of Knives Out, which is the third movie, but they don't really connect other than Benoit Blanc being there. He's the detective.
The detective. He's the only. He's the only reoccurring character. Which I like in a murder mystery franchise, because then
you can just do
when
so
you
much
try
stuff.
To bring all the characters back, it's the odds of a detective investigating three murders in the same house.
Yeah,
gets a little unrealistic.
Maybe a bit, but speaking of unrealistic, this movie's great.
A lot better than Glass Onion.
A lot better than Glass Onion. When I say speaking of unrealistic, I just thought about the things that transpire in this movie. When you think something, it's not very realistic. Like when you thought he actually came back from the dead.
Oh yeah,
that's what I meant by that.
Oh yeah, no, and they got me.
They got me too.
I mean, when the freaking tomb opened and he walked out, I was like, oh yep, Josh Brolin just.
Thanos just came back.
He came back to life, or he was never dead in the first place, or something. Something's going down. I thought he was never dead. That's what I thought. And he came out of, but then they were in the morgue. Flipping him around in the morgue, and you saw the flesh wound. Like,
goodness gracious, dude!
Crazy stuff.
This movie got me on so many different times,
and it was really good in that right.
Like, yeah, because like.
I mean, I think there were like three different options I thought it was other than the right one.
Yeah, and like, it started up and I was like, okay, it's this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep on going and you're like, no. And then you're like, okay, it's this person. And you're like, no. And then you're like, oh, dude, it's actually the priest. No.
Nope.
Oh my God. He's alive again. It was him the whole time. No.
Nope.
And then, like, you finally get it, and you're like, oh my gosh, dude. That was the option that I thought. But, like, it's so good. It takes you out of it, like, takes you out of what you're thinking so well, and then brings you back into, like, was I right? No. Was I right?
Yeah.
No.
It makes you second-guess yourself.
It's so good.
But, yeah, I thought it was worthy of the Knives Out name.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Unlike Glass Onion.
Yeah, us over here, we can learn a lot ethically from Batman. Don't particularly love Glass Onion.
I mean, it was an okay murder mystery, but like living up to the hype of Knives Out.
Yeah, it did
like,
not
knowing that there was a Knives Out sequel, I was so excited, and Glass Onion was not it.
Yeah.
And that may be why I like this one so much, is because I went in with
really not expecting
no
much.
Expectations, because Glass Onion was not great.
I mean, when we went and watched it in the theaters before it officially came out on Netflix, and my mom watched it before us. And when she got home from the movie theater, I think we were watching...
we had went to watch Now You See Me.
Now You Don't.
Yeah.
And she came out of her car and was like, you have to go watch that movie.
Yeah. She went to see it twice, right?
Yeah, she watched it twice. Yeah. She watched it by herself. And then
I mean, I'll
hands.
Probably watch it because my family's going to watch it because now it's on Netflix. I'll probably watch it with them.
Yeah. And like, my mom... I was talking to other people about this today. My mom is kind of hit or miss with what she likes and stuff. Like sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. But other times you're like, ah.
Yeah, I was a little more hopeful when she said it was good, but I was still on the fence.
Yeah, but then we went and watched it and like, oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah. It was really good. It's just hard to beat Knives Out.
Yeah, you can't beat the
like,
first one.
They just knocked it out of the park on the first one.
Yeah, and like the fact that the first one, like obviously, is not really based on anything.
Yeah,
made it I think a little bit better in my heart.
And I think I like the killer so much because I hadn't seen Chris Evans do anything other than
Captain America.
Captain America and the Human Torch.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd never seen him do a role where you actually, like, where you, like, he's the villain. Like, yeah. I'd never seen him do that. And it was Captain America. And at the time, I was younger, so I was like, what is Captain America doing? I was freaking out. And Ransom is such a good character in the first one.
I like that Chris Evans tapped into his jerkiness that he played in, like, the
2000s.
Because he was that good old boy Captain America for so long. But, like, before that, he was the jerk.
Yeah.
Jerk rude guy. And I really liked that. He plays that kind of role so well.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very funny.
But, yeah, this one was really good. I thought Father Judd was a great character.
Yeah.
I was worried when I saw the trailers and heard that he was kind of Benoit's sidekick. I was worried that they were going to take the camera off Benoit Blanc, but I think they worked really good together.
And I think they did, too.
Blanc was still the detective. Yeah. Like he was still the main man, and he was the one who figured most of it out. But Judd was also an important character.
Yeah, he was very important. I love... I do really like Judd. We should talk about him for a little bit. But, like, you can just tell he's a man of faith.
Like, oh, yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah, I mean, your mom said he's probably the most, like, realistic portrayal of a Christian in a movie. And, He had been through stuff, was going through stuff, but was trying to approach it from a godly way. And that...
Yeah.
That means you struggle. Like, that doesn't mean you're perfect. And I think he did that well. And I think he also played the struggle of trying to portray, like, as someone of importance in the church, he was trying to portray himself as somewhat perfect and was having a hard time. And I think the movie did a good job of showing that people within the church, like the congregation, held him to a higher standard.
Yeah.
Because he was a father and he wasn't allowed as many mistakes as the other people were. And I thought they just did that well and shined a light on those errors.
And
in a good way.
I think one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie is when he calls the construction company. And,
oh my gosh, yes.
And the lady is like, hey, like, I'm going through some stuff. Uh-huh. Like, can you talk to me? And, like, the way he, like, instantly switches from, like, I need to get this done to, like,
it was a very, like, stressful moment for him and Benoit trying to figure out the case.
Mm-hmm.
And Benoit is still freaking out. Like, we have to figure out this case now.
Yeah.
And Judd's like, just hold on
a second.
Hold on. Like,
yeah.
As soon as she started talking about what she was going through, he put the case away and was like, this is more important.
Yeah.
And sat there for...
What, a couple hours?
Yeah, I think it was a couple hours just talking to her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really...
Yeah.
It was a stark contrast to Josh Brolin's character.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Who was the leader of the church and was...
What do they call him?
Monsignor Wicks.
Yeah,
Monsignor. Jefferson Wicks. He was not a great person.
Not at all.
He was approaching, like, the church as, like, an army, basically, and that they were supposed to fight the world, and he was like,
the,
anytime...
leader. What, he said he was like the sword of God or something like
and
that.
Anytime visitors came into the church, he would
call them out.
He'd attack them.
Yeah.
And, like... weed out the church basically to try to get, and that's why the church had six people.
Yeah.
That's why only six people came to their church on Sunday.
And in a church that's not very good.
Well, that's not good at all. And especially when it's six old people, because the church is going to die soon.
Yeah.
And you want it to always be growing and you don't want to attack people.
No. And that's good on Judd for, I mean, They did send him there to kind of
change it, yeah.
Yeah, they send him there to kind of fix Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. Those scenes with Josh Brolin, like the beginning confession, and so weird.
Yeah, he, like, he had a lot of problems and was trying to get Judd to leave. Like he was, because we figured out his confession was that he had been committing sexual sin.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way I can word that. But, and then Judd figured out he had had a surgery that made it impossible for him to do that.
Yeah.
So Wicks was confessing those things, trying to get Judd to like, nope, I'm out. See ya.
Yeah.
He was trying to get him to leave because he didn't want someone changing his church.
Yeah. Like, and obviously that backfired on him.
Yeah. And he, like, I think they did a really good job of establishing that everyone in the church had a motive.
Yeah.
Because Jefferson Wicks, like, told them, hey, like, this church is dying.
Yeah.
On Easter, I'm going to tell the town what you've done.
Yeah.
And I'm getting me a new flock.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, yeah, I would, I mean, that's a good motive. Like, I was like, okay, it could be any of these people now because he had dirt on all of them.
Yeah. And that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know it is pretty, like, that's pretty standard for, like, a murder mystery is to have everyone have a motive. So, like,
but I thought they did a good job of establishing that.
Yeah, and they did do a really good job. And, like, it got to a point where you're like, yeah, all these people have a motive. But, like, who actually did it?
Yeah, and that's the thing about murder mysteries too. Like, they have tropes.
Yeah.
But I think you can't do one without those tropes.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be good if...
Yeah.
No one had a motive.
And, like, they do call some of those out, like the locked door crime or something like that.
Yeah.
The closed door crime. And, like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, they talked about a book. Like, they brought up a murder mystery book and talked about the tropes in it to try and figure out who had done it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and you want to talk about the congregation now? The six
the
people.
Flock?
Yeah. Yeah, the flock.
Sure. We got Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, Dr. Nat, I think.
Dr. Nat.
What's his name?
He's odd.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they're all really
weird. Well, yeah. But his wife left him.
Took their kids.
Took the kids. Took most of their money. He was drunk the whole movie.
Yeah. And then there's the older lady. The old lady.
Yeah. I do not remember all of their names.
I don't either. But there's the old lady who had grown up in the church
and saw
the harlot whore.
Yeah, and that
was also a kind of big part of the movie.
Yeah, she was Wick's father, right? Or mother?
Yeah.
She was Wick's mother.
Yeah.
And she so the whole story of the church was that Wick's grandfather he'd made a lot of money through the church and had turned it into a diamond, like put all of his assets and bought a diamond that he called Eve's apple. And he cut his daughter off because she did not live a godly life at all.
They said she liked wearing revealing clothing.
Yeah. But he cut her off and he died trying to protect
the Eve's apple,
the diamond from her. And
which we got one of the most, like, I don't, like, it's a scary scene, but, like, it's scary for me as a Christian. 'Cause, like, when they first tell us about the harlot whore, it shows this scene of her just ransacking the church in a fit of anger.
She's trying, 'cause we think it's a fit of anger because her father gave away the money and cut her off.
Yeah.
But we find out later that she's just looking for the diamond.
Yeah. But, like,
but she tears the church up.
Like, it's like they do, like, it is a bad thing to do. I'm not saying that ransacking a church for money is a good thing to do, but, like, it is painted in a more worse light.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the first part. But, like, when we were watching it, like, it was all red and, like, it was stressful and she was just going at it. And, like, I leaned over to Carter, and I was like...
She tore the cross off the wall.
Yeah, she broke
the statue of Jesus.
Like, ripping up this Bible. And, like, yeah, I leaned over to Carter.
It was wild.
And I was like, I like the way this is making me feel.
No, and I mean, that was on purpose, 100%. Yeah, but, 100%. Yeah, it was... As a Christian, it was freaky.
Yeah, but, like, it was not... It's a good scene. It was shot very beautifully. In a weird way. I don't want to say beautifully.
Well, yeah, it
looked very nice.
It was well done, and it made you feel what it was supposed to make you feel.
Yeah, and, like, it was just crazy.
But yeah, she died
from a brain aneurysm.
Yeah, she had a brain aneurysm while ransacking the church.
No, she was at
Oh, yeah, she was at the tomb.
Yeah, she was at the tomb.
She was trying to get in her father's tomb.
Yep.
And then she's the mother of Jefferson Wicks.
Yeah.
And he's been the leader of this church for a while.
The Monsignor.
Yeah.
And
that the old woman was a child when his grandfather run the church, and the whole thing with the harlot whore happened.
Yeah. And she stayed in the church, obviously. And she's one of the flock.
Yeah, and she basically ran the church. She did all the filing, all the paperwork, took care of the money, did it all. Pretty much.
And then there's the girl in the wheelchair. I can't remember what her name is.
Yeah, she was an artist. She played piano.
Cello,
yeah. And she had a nerve disease, right?
And she could walk.
She can walk, but it really hurts.
Yeah. And there's some pretty funny jokes with that.
Yeah. And she's she's at the church, and Wicks is basically like...
conning her out of her money.
Conning her, saying, hey, you give money to the church, God's going to give you a miracle.
Yeah.
Which is not right on his side.
Yeah.
But, like, with faith, God will give her a miracle.
Yeah.
But asking for the money is...
Yeah. He was
not
doing it wrong.
The right thing.
So that's why she's there. And eventually, like, obviously Wicks kind of tells her,
like,
you're not going to get that miracle. I'm just trying to get money.
Yeah, I'm just
so that,
money.
That's kind of her motive.
And then there's...
the tech guy. The guy that takes all the videos.
Yeah, he's... so he had a failed political career. A rough one.
Apparently.
And he said he tried to get on everyone's side. There was a whole thing where he talked about, like, a bunch of stuff. And it was funny. All the things he listed out. But now he's back at the church recording Wicks' sermons, halfway through it, he talks about how he thinks Wicks could possibly get to the top and be the president.
Yeah.
And that's just a scary thing to think about in the first right, Wicks is president. But, and then his sister, right? Or we find out later it's not his sister.
The girl's dad brought him home. Like, okay. I think they're like adopted siblings, I think.
Yeah, but there's this girl that takes care of him, and she's basically given up her whole life for this kid, and she's just going to church there because it's what she's got.
Yeah.
And
then there's the guy that looks like the dad from Lab Rats.
Yeah, he's a book writer. He's had some successful books, but he's kind of in a slump, and he's writing a book about Wicks.
Crazy work.
Yeah. I think we covered them all, right?
I think that's all of them, yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about Sandman. The groundskeeper.
Oh, yeah, the groundskeeper, Sam. He's married to the old lady.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they live on the grounds of the church. He's the groundskeeper.
Mm-hmm.
He takes care of it, but he also goes to church with her. And there's a couple funny scenes where he's big into sports.
Yeah.
They established that. And he's watching sports in church, and his wife takes his earbuds out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Carter.
That's okay.
Dropping his iPad.
That's okay.
iPad kid.
Whatever.
But yeah, those are the flock. They all have their motives, except for Sam, the groundskeeper.
Yeah,
he's just there.
Yeah, he's just there. He's not even in the meeting.
No.
With them where he talks about him. I think Wicks just realizes, like, he's the groundskeeper. Like, there's no reason to get rid of him.
Yeah, and, like, they do say that he's the best man there.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of funny. But the story is laid out. Wix is the one who gets murdered.
Yeah. He gets murdered.
In the closet.
On Good Friday?
Yes. Yeah. On Good
he
Friday.
He gets murdered on Good Friday. He so what he always does is, like, in his sermons, he's like...
He's getting at it.
He's getting at it. He's fired up. He's yelling. He's waving his arms. He's freaking out.
Yeah.
But he always has to go in the closet and compose himself.
Compose himself, but
he's,
in quotes.
But what he's really doing is going in there and drinking.
Yeah.
And what happened is he went in the closet. He went to drink. He fell. They found a knife in his back. He's dead.
Yep.
So Blanc shows up.
With a weird old haircut.
Yeah. I actually liked his hair in this one.
I did too. It was a little bit hard to get used to.
Yeah.
But I think when he first showed up, I completely forgot what movie I was watching. And I was like, is that the guy who plays the villain in Doctor Strange? Because like he kind of looks like that with his hair.
Yeah. But he shows up to investigate. Who hired him? Did the cops hire him?
The cops hired him, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the cops hired him to come in and investigate, and he tries to start, like, establishing a rapport with Judd. Judd doesn't even know who he is, and then the cops come in and reveal that he's Blanc, and now Judd's, like, freaking out because he's like, oh, he's freaking out that Blanc is trying to, like...
Get him.
Get a confession. And you find out Blanc thinks it's him. Like, Blanc...
Oh, yeah.
Thinks it was Judd because he was the only one in the room when he died.
And not halfway through the movie, but like later in the movie, they're like, it's Judd, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, Blanc thinks that it's him, and he's just trying to get a confession out of it.
He thinks it's him, but he knows in his heart that it's not him.
Yeah.
Because he says that in the beginning.
Like... From a logical standpoint, it has to be Judd, but he knows, like, this, it can't be him.
Yeah.
So they're investigating.
Some shenanigans happen.
And they're trying to figure out, like, all the different things, and, yeah, more things happen, and then,
another pretty crazy scene. On Easter Sunday, some stuff is happening, it's storming. Judd is walking around and he sees Sam, the groundskeeper, with his little...
Well, he thinks it's Sam.
He thinks it's Sam.
Yeah.
And, so he walks over to him and he finds... he goes to the tomb where Wix is and his grandfather is buried.
And the door comes open.
Slams open. Which they set off in the beginning that, the door can be opened by...
It's a Lazarus tomb.
Yeah.
So...
It can only be... Opened by construction companies or like construction equipment
from the outside
or from the inside.
Yeah, from the inside, it can just be pushed over.
Yeah, and then that door pushes over
and slams down. Wix just walks on out.
Wix just walks on out, and like, oh my gosh, the amount of like,
yeah, like what is going on? And I mean, they pulled it off perfectly to make you think like, oh my gosh, he really is alive. Like,
yeah,
like did he just come back to life? What is happening in this
movie? Yeah, like, you're obviously, like, my first thought, which I think was yours as well, is like, oh my gosh, he wasn't dead this entire time. Like, he was still alive. But then I was like, no, because they had the scene with the,
where he was
in the morgue, and they're, like, flipping him around and stuff. So I was like, no, it can't be that. Yeah. Like, so he actually legit just came back from the dead.
But then Judd goes down there to investigate. He goes into the woods and gets punched.
Yep. And then,
he wakes up, and Sam is dead.
Yeah.
Sam has a...
sickle
in his heart.
Yep.
He's dead.
Which was so sad.
Yeah, it was sad.
Like, I really liked him. He didn't really do much, but...
And we're made to believe that it was Judd, and Judd runs off, and Blanc is trying to find him. The cops are trying to find him. They think it's him. They think he's got two counts of murder now. And then there's a knock on Jeremy Renner's door. We don't know who it is.
Jeremy Renner was always being kind of suspicious in the background.
He said something about a plan.
Yeah.
And then...
come back to Judd at, like, the police station.
Yeah, and Blanc takes him out. He, like, the cops confess. Cops are looking for him. Judd was there. He was going to confess what had happened. And then Blanc takes him out, takes him to Jeremy Renner's house, and they find...
And oh my gosh.
They find Jeremy Renner in a pool of acid.
But wait. The first thing we see
is Wicks. Yeah, we see Wicks.
Wicks is down there.
Wicks but in the basement.
But he's dead.
Holding, like, he appears to be holding something in a pool of acid. Yeah. And then they drain the pool of acid. And it's Jeremy Renner because he always had his ring on.
Yeah.
And the skeleton has his ring on.
Yeah. And, like, the scene where, like, it's draining and, like, Wicks's arms are also in the acid and, like, it, like, goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the willies, bro. Yeah.
And then they go back to the church, right?
They do go back to the church because Blanc has figured it out.
Yeah. And he brings everyone who was alive back to the church, and he has his big gotcha moment, but he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He says, like, I really don't know. There's no way this could have happened. Like, there's got to be a logical explanation, but as far as I can see...
There isn't.
This is impossible. Like, Wicks really came back to life, killed Jeremy Renner, Judd killed Sam... Mm-hmm. And Wicks the first time.
Yeah.
What happened? And then
everyone loses faith.
Yeah. Leaves the church. Leaves the church.
Except for the person who did it. The old lady.
The old lady. We figure out it was her. And Blanc said he knew it was her. But he needed her to confess of her own will.
Yeah. To Judd. Yeah. Father Judd.
To Judd. Like, he wanted her to do that. And she told the whole story about how she put poison in his drink. So the blade had a devil's head on it.
Yeah.
So the first devil's head was sewn to the back of Wicks's clothes,
mm-hmm.
and there was a transmitter that Jeremy Renner used, because Jeremy Renner was in on it too.
He wasn't on it.
Jeremy Renner used to squirt a little blood out of the first devil's head,
mm-hmm.
so that when Judd went over,
he touched the blood.
He touched blood and assumed that Wicks was dead.
Yeah.
And then the old lady, like, freaked out,
collapsed,
and got everyone's attention. And then Jeremy Renner, the doctor who, like, should be at the body,
yeah,
actually put the knife.
Yeah, actually stabbed him and killed him right then and there.
And killed him right then and there. And Sam got put
in the coffin
with his outfit on, and he was the one who walked out.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Renner was who we thought was Sam. And Jeremy Renner killed Sam.
Yeah, because he didn't see a logical way out, and he was...
And he wanted the diamond.
And
he wanted the diamond for himself. And they figured out, because the old woman knew where Eve's apple was.
Yeah.
Grandpa Wicks had swallowed it. That's what killed him.
Yeah.
So it was in his coffin. She'd known that since she was a kid.
Yeah, crazy. And
Sam had to go in that tomb, get it out of Grandpa Wicks's coffin,
mm-hmm.
and then Jeremy Renner had it, and he was consumed by Eve's apple,
yeah,
and killed Sam.
Brought it back.
Brought it back, and then the old lady, once she figured out Sam had died, she knew what had happened.
Yeah.
She went to Jeremy Renner's house. Jeremy Renner tried to kill her.
Mm-hmm. With the poison.
Yeah, but she switched. She knew what was coming.
Yeah,
switched the coffee glasses, killed him,
put his body.
Did the whole acid thing.
Yeah, made it look like Wicks did it.
Wicks had done it. And then, how did she die? Because she had the poison too.
She knew what she had done, and she was like, "I gotta die now." She did it.
She took the poison.
Yeah. Because she was like, I've sinned this much.
Yeah.
I've sinned and, like, I need to go.
Yeah. So she took the poison.
And that's what Blanc realized. Yeah,
Blanc saw it on her lips. Something about it discolored your lips, and he saw it. And she died in Judd's arms after she had confessed the whole thing. And she died, her hand hits the ground, and out rolls Eve's apple.
Yep.
Out rolls the diamond, and case closed.
Case closed. She did it with help with Jeremy Renner.
So pretty much everyone, I think at that point they'd all kind of left the church.
Yeah.
So Cy, we figured out, the guy who was
recording stuff
was Wix's son.
Yeah.
And Wix didn't want to like say Share. Anything about it because he'd done it with a woman who he didn't even remember at this point, so he didn't want
out for everyone because that's not a very good look.
Cy should have the diamond because it's his inheritance. Like he's a part of the family. But Blanc and the cop and Judd all claim to not know where it is.
Yep.
So Cy's mad. He's got his lawyers. He's going to sue them for all the money they got.
Yep.
And he storms off. And then the lady with the nerve damage, she goes back to playing the cello.
Yep. She did get her miracle, but
she just learns how to deal with the pain.
Yep. That was her miracle.
And then the woman who was raising Cy decided to live her own life now that she was done with Cy.
Yeah.
And
the guy that looked like the dad from Lab Rats
wrote his book, but realized what kind of fans he was attracting with that book.
And didn't really like that.
Didn't really like that.
Got a funny joke out of that.
Yeah. And then Blanc kind of has this moment with Judd. Like, he's talking about, like, this... I'm realizing things because he comes into the film 100% like against God. Like,
yeah,
there has to be a logical explanation for everything. And
what
you're teaching is a bunch of crap.
Yeah. It's a bunch of,
like,
it's a bunch
you're
of
giving people false hope. Yeah. But then at the end, he's kind of like, he's realizing that there may be some weight in this because of what it made people do. And how it changed the people in the church. He's like left with the question of like, is this real? Is what's going on here the truth? And then it cuts to Judd in the church. He's the leader. No one, like all the flock has gone.
Yeah. And he fixes the cross.
Yeah, he fixes the cross.
It was there, but the harlot whore.
Yeah, and Wix didn't put it up as a reminder of what the whore had done.
Yeah.
And so Judd had fixed it. He fixed up the church with the money from Eve's apple.
Yeah.
He had fixed up part of the church.
And then he hid Eve's apple.
He hid Eve's apple in the chest of Jesus
on
the cross. And the last shot is him getting visitors to the church. So we're left with the hope that his church will grow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fire movie.
I thought it was really good.
No, you can't beat the first one.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, the first one was really good.
But, like, this is definitely up there.
Just under the first one.
Yeah. And, like, one thing that I really, really didn't like about Glass Onion is that there's so much green screen, so much CGI.
Yeah, that the island looks so fake.
And, like, the first one is so real.
Yeah.
All practical sets, everything is so lively. There's
mansion is 100% real.
Yeah, and like that was one of my favorite parts about that first movie. And they brought it back to a certain degree.
Yeah, I mean this church looks real.
Yeah, practical sets and
this whole set looks real.
The lighting is so nice in some of the scenes, and like the light coming into the windows and coming out, they use that as like a symbol of God.
Kind of. Yeah, Blanc has that at the end where he's in the church. He gets like a sunshine on his face as he's leaving.
Yeah, and like that is really nice. All the stained glass looks so beautiful.
Yeah, the church, they actually kind of made a joke about the church that it looks like it should be in like 16th century France and it's in modern day, but it looks beautiful.
It does look really nice. And like all the scenes in the woods and like when it's storming and like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. They were able to do that where it didn't look dark. Like it looked dark, but you could see what was happening. There's some films where it's dark and you can't see what's happening.
Yeah.
But this one, Badlands. Yeah. this one they did well, where it's dark, but you can still see what's happening.
Yeah, and like all the characters are, I would say, are pretty fleshed out. You understand everything about them, and like they grow and change, and like it's just really.
And I mean, Judd is just such a compelling character. Like he killed a man like that.
Yeah,
he was a boxer, and he killed someone in the ring.
Yeah,
and he realized, like, this life is wrong. And they don't really go into, like, what made him want to become a father. But he said he just wanted to show the world what God had done for him.
Yeah. And all of his speeches to, like, well, not really speeches, but all of his, like, fits of, like, I'm doing this for a reason to Blanc are all really, really nice. Oh, yeah.
They are. Like, the dialogue was written really well. And I'd be curious if Ryan Johnson is a Christian or not.
Yeah.
Because this was done very well.
Mm-hmm. And even if he was, even if he's not, he has a lot of respect for it.
Yeah. Or somebody did. Somebody on that set, somebody wrote that.
Yeah.
Having a lot of respect for it.
I think it's funny that, like, Judd does cuss. Like, he'll say bad words and stuff, but, like, it makes so much sense.
Well, he says that, and then he, like, says sorry.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry.
I mean, everybody messes up.
Yeah.
Like, yes, of course, you want to be perfect.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, a perfect, stuck-up Christian. Like, he's a real Christian.
Yeah.
We all mess up, but he tries to get better.
Yeah. And I really like that about him.
Cussing's probably part of his old life.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to get... And there's some things where it's, like, it's just... It was kind of funny because, like, the old woman was telling him stories about the whore, and, like...
He'd be like, holy sh... Yeah. You know,
Lady would have like a look of like, oh my gosh, what'd you just do? We're in a church. And he'd be like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I like the joke where she would kind of sneak up on him. He'd be like, ah.
Well, she moved.
Yeah.
Very quiet. And then the girl in the wheelchair got up one time.
Gosh.
And the old lady, she lost her mind, like, oh my gosh, it's a miracle, you can walk. And she was like, I can walk, it just hurts a lot.
Yeah, she was just like, that was pretty funny. Whole time. I think that was the hardest I laughed watching the movie.
And like, it kind of surprised me too, because at that point I'd forgotten about the nerve damage. So I was like, what is this movie?
Yeah.
Like, I thought, oh my gosh, she just got up and walked. What is happening?
I think another pretty good the jokes landed really well. But
something that didn't happen in Glass
But one of the other funniest jokes is, like, after she kills Jeremy Renner, she, like, throws him down the stairs.
Head first,
so he's like, doop, doop, doop.
His head bobs on every step. And, like, the way he falls in the hallway with respect to the stairs means she had to back him up and turn him around.
And flip him over.
Flip him over.
Because he landed
face down, and he falls face up. So she had to drag him back to the stairs, turn him around, and flip him over just for that joke. Yeah. And I think it makes it funnier.
It does make it funnier. Like, the implications make it funnier than it probably actually
is. Yeah, that she did all that.
Yeah. And there's a couple other jokes that hit pretty well, which, like you said, didn't really happen in Glass Onion.
But yeah, I'm like, I was not excited for this because I didn't know how it was going to be. But now I'm excited for the fourth one. Hopefully there is a fourth one.
Hopefully they'll make a fourth one.
I think they'll make a fourth one. I think it did well in theaters, and it's probably number one on Netflix right now. I haven't looked, but it's probably number one. It came out a couple days ago. Yeah. So
if you haven't watched it, why are you listening to our episode? But thank you for being here anyways. Yeah. But go watch it.
Yeah, like, go check it out.
Even if you're like not a Christian or anything, it's still like a very entertaining movie.
Still a good murder mystery.
Yeah.
And the guy who played Judd, Josh O'Connor, he's not really been in a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I think he's about to be.
Yeah.
Because his performance in that was really good. He hosted SNL last night.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's kind of popular right now. And
yeah,
I think
cast is really kind of stacked in this movie.
Well, and all three of them are. And that's what surprised me about Glass Onion.
Yeah.
It's got a good cast, too. And it was...
It was not good. It wasn't as good.
But yeah, all three of these have a stacked cast. All of them are decent. Glass Onion's definitely the worst. These two are pretty neck and neck.
Yeah. I think the first one is the best. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Like if anything, I could just watch Knives Out and have a good time.
But yeah, this one was definitely a sequel worthy of the Knives Out name.
Yeah, definitely. What would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, probably a 9.
Nice.
I didn't have problems.
I was about to say, I'd probably give it an 8.
I don't know what deserves a 10 because, like,
there's not a perfect movie,
but this
except
one...
The Amazing Spider-Man 2, obviously.
This one comes pretty close.
Yeah.
Gosh. Jeez. Every time.
But yeah, that was our episode on Wake Up Dead Man.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it,
go watch it.
Open that Netflix and start it right after this. And why are you here?
Yeah. Just go watch it.
Yeah. Go watch it.
I'm not sure what our next initial thoughts will be.
Maybe Avatar.
Maybe Avatar. Who knows?
Maybe Anaconda.
Maybe in a car. We don't know.
Whatever we see together next. Yep. But yeah, we will put these out whenever we can. These won't really have a schedule.
Yeah,
but
these are kind of supplementary.
But these won't come out like soon after the film because we don't want to spoil too soon.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen it, don't listen to these.
Yeah. And like even if we did put it out soon, There's always going to be videos of people reviewing movies or like other podcasters, but who knows?
Yep. But yeah, we will catch you all on the next one. And remember, we can learn a lot ethically from Batman.